The vision of farming is often romanticized. Days outdoors instead of at the corporate desk, or staining your hands with soil instead of printer ink. Well, for a growing number of people, it's not just a romantic notion, it's reality. But neither is it always idyllic. New and small farmers are dotting the landscape across Ohio, and today's guests are part of an Ohio State University program to give these burgeoning farmers a bit of a boost. New and small farming in the Buckeye State, today on Town Hall Ohio.
This is Town Hall Ohio, home to interesting people, engaging issues, and enlightening stories. Town Hall Ohio is a production of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, working to forge a partnership between farmers and consumers, and is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Now, here's Town Hall Ohio host, Joe Corneli.
The trend toward new people getting into farming seems to be growing. The last agricultural census did show an uptick in young people getting started in farming. They do tend to be small operators and tend to use considerably different farming practices than some previous generations. What is happening in Ohio to react to and foster this trend? We're going to get into that with two folks who are a part of a team within Ohio State University Extension. In the studio with us today, Gigi Neal. She's with Extension in Claremont County. Tony Nye, Extension in Clinton County. Tony, Gigi, welcome to Town Hall, Ohio.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So the New and Small Farmers Program, I want to start there. That's what it's officially called. Gigi, maybe get us rolling here. Tell us a little bit about the program. Why was it created? What are the objectives? Why are we doing this?
Well, we have a group of individuals, as you mentioned with the statistics, that are becoming new, and they've gotten a few acres, and they want to know what they can do with their property. Where I work in Clinton County, or in Claremont County, I've got a lot of individuals that are coming from that Cincinnati area out, and they're wanting a few acres, and then they call me and they say, what can I do with this? I have no idea. I've got 5 acres. I want to make a go at something. But we have individuals that have made statements that have been in the program, says that anyone thinking about any type of farm enterprise should take this course, even if it is only a current dream.
Tony, as you look at this, you and I have been around pretty much our whole careers. I've spent 40 years in this business. I imagine you're getting somewhat near that. As you have seen Extension adapt to what's going on in Ohio, kind of give us your perspective on this, on the need for a new program like this and getting into some non-type of traditional things for the Extension Service.
Well, that's a good question, Joe. And certainly the thing that's intriguing about this program and the clientele that we're servicing, a lot of them are new to Extension. They never have attended Extension programs. And so they're actually a vibrant group that we haven't dealt with through Extension in a lot of cases. They're familiar with maybe 4-H and some things like that. In many cases, they may be second, third, or even fourth generation removed from the farm. And so they remember grandpa or an uncle and some things like that. And as Gigi said, you know, some of them have that desire or aspiration to do something outside of their comfort zone, probably is a good way to put it. And the small farm program has been one that now has been around since 2005, actually. And it's just amazing to us that are in Extension as to the ongoing request from clientele to want to participate in a program such as this.
If I remember right, I saw the team. You two are part of the team. There's, 10, 12, 13 different Extension specialists that are involved in the program. But Tony, what kinds of, when you put the team together, what kind of expertise were you planning on bringing into the room in terms of each of you has your own strengths? What were you trying to compile for this team?
Well, that's something that we looked at our individual strengths. So marketing's one of those elements that we incorporate into the college. And so there's a few folks that specialize more in agri-marketing, whether it's big or small, commodity marketing. We have others that really delve into the ag finance side of things, so record keeping and some of those things. And then there's a number of us that are well-versed in either livestock or production agriculture from a crop side. And so we just kind of looked at our resources amongst ourselves and then utilized those strengths to facilitate each of the different evenings. And then we bring in other folks, such as we'll bring in someone from an agricultural-related insurance company to talk about insurance needs on the farm, or we look at one night where to get other assistance. And so FSA, soil and water, and even the county auditor as it relates to CAUV, things they a lot of times don't think about and who some of those other partners may be. So when we pull it all together, we can sometimes utilize up to 30 different people to teach an 8-week program.
Both you, Gigi, and Tony painted a picture of some people who in many cases may be pretty much brand new to farming. And I was looking at the new and small farm team objectives, and one of them said to increase agricultural literacy. Tell me a little bit about that. How ag illiterate do you find some of these folks to be?
Some of them do need a lot of the so-called lingo that they need to learn before they get into the agricultural industry. So getting them involved in the literacy of agriculture to help them better understand, especially when they go out to talk to a commodity individual or to a garden center where they want to pick up more materials, they need to know what they're talking about when they walk in there. And especially when they're wanting to produce animals. A cow is not a cow if you're wanting to raise it for only the purpose of meat. So we got to make sure we're getting the right types of animals, and that throws them for a curveball too.
Economic development is a part of this. Is the goal beyond helping them understand how to run a business and actually contribute then to the local economy?
Yes, it is. We want them to be a viable part of that local community and become a market center for that given location and area.
We're chatting with a couple of folks from OSU Extension, Tony Nye and Gigi Neal, about the new and small farmers program at The Ohio State University. Let's talk a little bit about these people. Gigi, we'll start with you here. I mentioned that the numbers seem to be creeping up. You have verified that you're seeing that kind of thing, but can you tell me a little bit more about who typically walks in your office or calls you and says, I want to be a farmer, or I've got some ground, I don't know what to do with it? Who are these people? Are there some commonalities that you see?
We have every age range you can think of, everywhere from a young individuals that are in their 20s and 30s to older individuals, even in their mid-40s, 50s, 60s, that are trying to get involved in the farming aspect. Some of them have been involved in agriculture and they're coming back to it. When they were a young teenager themselves, now they're coming back to it. So our average age is around 44 and a half years old for those individuals participating. And then we have everywhere from individuals that have high school diplomas to up to doctorate degrees that are being involved within our program. So it's a wide range, no individualized specific type person.
Maybe both of you could comment on this. That's a good picture of who these people are. How much have you gleaned on why? What seems to be the motivating factors to jump into what could be a difficult undertaking?
Well, if someone was thinking about agriculture, the first thing that, maybe someone that's not as involved in agriculture would come to think, why would someone want to get involved? Money might be the first thing. So do I want to develop a profit center? And actually, that's in the middle of the scope of things. Basically, a lifestyle is the number one choice of being involved in a small-scale agricultural enterprise or enterprises. Retirement becomes the second most important element when we've surveyed our clientele. Then earning a living, and then you get into investments, and that can be a wider range of scope in terms of that. And then the other facet to it is they inherited the property. And that always brings up a lot of uniqueness to those individuals and can tell many stories as to why they're participating in a program in that. And then size and scope of the enterprise. We've had from 0 to 1,700 acres involved. And the 1,700 acre, as an example, was a family. They owned all of their acreage. Mom and dad said, we are not buying anymore. Kids all said they want to be involved. So he was looking at a way to incorporate them into the current farming operation and giving them some acreage on a small scale basis to have their own enterprises. And so three kids, two were in college, one was in high school at the time. And the dad, the father of the family unit came, and that's what they were looking at. And then we have so many people that are aspiring to get into agriculture, they can't find the land, which becomes one of the biggest issues out there. They're thinking about purchasing, and they look at this as an opportunity to get to know a little bit more about the blood, sweat, and tears that goes along with agriculture. And some of my best successes over the years of being involved has actually been talking people out of buying property, because they didn't realize, after reading all the fancy stories on the internet and some of the magazines that are out there looking at small farm production or hobby farm production, they didn't realize there was that much involved until, you know, we pretty much point blank tell them what it's like and give them a lot of fuel to think about.
Do you run into that, Gigi? And I'm going to use the word, it's not your word, but do you get some clueless people that think I'm just going to show up and be a farmer?
A lot of times we have individuals that do come in. They really aren't sure what they're getting into. And as Tony mentioned earlier, we have those conversations where sometimes we sit down and we talk with them, and they figure out that this may not be exactly what I wanted to get into or what I thought it was going to be. So we do have those conversations, and those are a lot of times tough conversations to have with those individuals, because they've got their hopes and they're geared up, they're ready to go. They may have already started some of the production aspects, and then they hear that, wait a minute, let's take a step back, let's not move too fast, let's try and not get too many irons in the fire to start with, and then they realize that we better take a step back and think things through.
So Tony mentioned the 1,700 acre farm. I assume it was conventional agriculture being subdivided now to have little micro enterprises for all the kids in the family. And he also mentioned, well, he didn't mention it, but the fact is that's the easiest way to get into farming is to be the son or daughter of a farm and farm wife. What do you tell the people who are just at the very beginning of looking for land? What kind of advice are you offering there in terms of finding a piece of property?
A lot of times they're contacting us after they found their piece of property. I've bought 5 acres, 10 acres, 15 acres, and I want to be able to do something with this. So finding the piece of property in my part of the state usually hasn't been a problem. But we do want to try and let's take one step at a time. Let's not try and put all of our ducks in a row at the very beginning.
Tony, do you ever get folks hooked up with farmers in terms of, well, I know Bill's getting ready to retire and he might be willing to sell, and here's Cheryl over here and she might be looking to buy?
Yeah, that's a discussion that we have a lot of times is, do you know some neighboring farmers out there? And the other place too is, do you go to church? And if you do, there's probably some families well-connected that can probably find you some resources out there.
We'll be back to talk more about getting started as a new or small farmer in the Buckeye State. Tony Nye and Gigi Neal of OSU Extension with us. We'll be back right after this.
I want to be a farmer, rising with the morning sun. I want to be a farmer, resting only when the day is done. Yes, I want to be a farmer.
There are a variety of types of people who want to do exactly that, and Ohio State University has a program to help them. It's called the New and Small Farmers Program, and two members of that team at Ohio State are Gigi Neal. She's in Extension in Claremont County. Tony Nye's in Extension over in Clinton County. We welcome them both to the program. Gigi, in terms of the folks that they've got the land, you've walked them through the "Are you sure you want to do this?" conversation, and they're all in. What kind of farms are these folks typically wanting to start? What kind of enterprises seem to be the most popular?
We have a lot of interest in vegetable production, but then also backyard poultry, and mainly with egg production and the poultry aspect. And then we have individuals who want to get involved in small ruminant animals, so our goats and sheep production.
Tony, what are you running into?
Yeah, we can add to that. It really depends sometimes the location of the state that we're in. So southeastern Ohio, we get a little bit more requests for beef cattle and hay production. The other aspect to that location of the state would be timber production. And then you've got sky's the limit, honeybees, duck production. I mean, we've just about heard any idea out there. And the whole scope of the program is to really get them to assess, okay, you're interested in this. You know, now learn some of the other things like marketing and demand and items like that, that you really need to think about, not just want to produce.
Do you run into folks that may have their vision of what they want to do, but the geography is just not right? If they, you know, of course, you guys are kind of both in West and Southwest Ohio, but if somebody comes along over in Noble County and wants 2,000 acres to grow corn, do you run into folks that don't quite understand or haven't had the experience to understand that there are parts of Ohio and characteristics that apply to one type of agriculture better so than others?
Yeah, topography and geography and all that goes into it. And so if you get into the hills of southeastern Ohio, you know, if you want to get into vegetable production, where's most of the sunlight at? Is it where all the trees are? Are you going to have to clear land? Things like that, that you really need to open up their eyes a little bit to what they get or what they have.
Gigi, how about your experience? Tony had mentioned that he's worked with beginning folks that have an acre and nearly 2,000 acres that they're looking at. What kind of sizes seem to be typical, or is there such a thing as a typical size?
I wouldn't say there is a typical size. We have small farms that range from, as Tony mentioned, 5 acres to 2,000 almost. So they can start and work their aspirations to whatever they want. And we have individuals that start out with one or two sheep, and now they've got a whole flock, and they're raising them for the purpose of fiber production.
So you've mentioned some of these things that can be done on a smaller scale. Have you ever had anybody walk through the door that's interested in being a commercial corn or soybean or wheat grower?
Not that I can think of. Not through my door. Tony may have had somebody come through his.
We get a few producers that they've inherited the property, and that's what dad used to do or mom and dad used to do. And so they're looking at, you know, is that what we want to continue doing? I think the way we describe the program, we don't get a lot of that other than the folks that have inherited or they've bought a decent size of property. And is that their best option? Sometimes when you talk them out of actually doing all the grunt work and renting it out from the production side of corn and soybeans, that's sometimes the best fit for what that family is really thinking about.
So you both mentioned the motivations are different across the board. For those who have the motivation of making a living, how do you walk them through that process, Gigi, in terms of understanding whether or not they really could chuck that job in the city and still have the same income lifestyle starting up a farm?
That is a difficult conversation to have with them, especially when you sit down and you talk about time. You talk about finances, you talk about livestock, and all the different aspects that go into being in production agriculture. A lot of times they don't realize that you're up at the crack of dawn and you go to bed when you can sometimes. At this time of year, we've got a lot of producers that are out still in the fields way after dark trying to get their crops in. And they don't necessarily, as a small farmer producer, necessarily see that aspect, because they also still want to have that social aspect of sports and other events of their personal life. Sometimes you have to learn how to balance that. And when we have that conversation, that's difficult.
Yeah, that hits a nail right on the head, as they say. Vegetable production is a great thing if you're wanting to participate in farmers markets. You know, when the produce is ready, you got to pick it. You can't wait till it's fine for your time. You've got to figure out.
Till the soccer game's over.
Yeah, you bet. And it's sometimes picking that sweet corn at 4 o'clock in the morning, and or kitting those goats out in January when the snow's 3 feet deep and it's blowing and it's 10 below zero wind chill factor. you can't just stay inside. And so some of those things are real eye-opening experiences for some of those that are maybe a little more naive to what it's all about.
I would take just a moment to mention to our listeners that Ohio Farm Bureau has a program in place that could be of benefit for those of you who are interested in getting involved in agriculture, primarily young folks. We have our Young Ag Professionals program, and you can learn all about it on the Ohio Farm Bureau website, which is ofbf.org. Provides leadership development, professional growth opportunities, and training in many of these areas of agriculture that might be new to you. So look us up on the web, ofbf.org, and look there for the Young Ag Professionals program. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Town Hall, Ohio. We're talking about the new and small farmers program at Ohio State University and the trend towards more young people and maybe middle-aged people getting into agriculture as something new or different for their lives. Helping us understand what's going on, Gigi Neal and Tony Nye, both are with the Ohio State University Extension Service. Gigi, let's talk a little bit about, you've worked with folks like this, as has Tony, but when you look at the ones who have come in and wanted to get started in this, some are successful. I'm assuming you've had some that have not been successful. But can you share maybe some of the characteristics of those that have gone on to be successful? What kinds of people are able to pull this off?
Well, they are individuals who have aspirations and understand the pros and the cons that go along with being in production agriculture. They know the time management and understand the finances that go along with that, and the blood, sweat, and tears, as Tony mentioned earlier, that go along with having production agriculture. And these individuals are the ones who have succeeded. We also have had individuals who they've succeeded for 2, 3, 4 years, but then something in their lifestyle has changed, and then they have had to give that up. We do have one individual that I know was just in a article with OSU and talking about the impacts that he had from the program and how he's currently involved in not only starting his own flock of sheep, but also purchased a fiber factory. And so now he's able to spin the wool and sell it. And so that was an additional jump that he made into his production aspects.
That's kind of a home run scenario there from where they were with just a couple animals to now they're in full production on the livestock side of things, but then the marketing side and looking at potentials outside the box of traditional marketing. So fibers become something that's pretty inexpensive. It doesn't pay for the clipping of the wool a lot of times in the marketplace, and they have found a niche to add value to their product and provide services to others that might have small numbers of animals that can bring their product in, have it cleaned and handled, and then put it into a product that they can either use themselves or market in other avenues.
How about some of the characteristics you've seen, Tony, and the people that end up doing well in this? Eyes wide open is, I think, the first thing that Gigi said.
Yeah, the eyes wide open. They almost ask too many questions. You know, they want to know everything inside and out. But the biggest thing that we see is those that want to put together a good business plan, because that's essential anymore in obtaining financing for a operation. Whether it's big or small, the bankers are going to look at, you know, some kind of a plan. Don't just come into their office and say, I want $20,000 because I want to do this. You know, those that have been successful have thought out that production side, the marketing side, the scheduling, the whole nine yards, as we'd say, and that whole process of owning a farm and operating, especially if they're wanting to do this to earn a living.
How about there are a couple of pieces of the job that I would think you would need to have some background in or quickly develop it. First of all, if you can't turn a wrench, you're going to be in trouble. How about that mechanical aptitude of tinkering and fixing things? Because any farmer will tell you things go wrong.
Well, and as we know, in being in production agriculture, you're not just raising a crop or raising an animal. You are a plumber, an electrician, a welder, all the different aspects that go into it. So, yeah, there's a lot of individuals out there that don't necessarily have those skills, and they may have to learn them along the way, or they're going to have to figure out their neighbor that knows how to use or to do that practice also, or, you know, they got to become a friend with a dealer that's nearby.
How about the social aspects of it? I come into the Farm Bureau office every day, and I've got 30, 40 friends around me that I can interact with on, you know, if I don't get in the way of them doing their work. And I live in a suburb, and we've got great neighbors all around us. You move out to a farm, and the closest neighbor could be a mile away or more. You might be working with your spouse or your kids, but you might be out there for long days on your own. Do you have to be wired that way to be able to not have constant social interaction right at your fingertips?
Yeah, for some of the clientele, that becomes a big hurdle to get over. But the other thing that we stress in the program is, number one, Joe, is the only dumb question you ask is the one you never ask. And while you're sitting in this program, get to know all the other individuals that are here, because you're all having the same goals. The end results may be different, but if you got some crazy off-the-wall idea you want to incorporate into your operation, there's your sounding board. The people that are sitting here tonight with you are the people to really bounce ideas to find out, is this really crazy or has this got potential? And then, like Gigi said, getting to know your neighbors and who can help you in the other aspects of your operation.
We'll be back to talk more about becoming a small or new farmer in Ohio with Tony Nye and Gigi Neal when we continue on Town Hall Ohio. Ohioans want to become one of those. They want to get into agriculture, and we're talking with a couple of folks who can help point the right direction. Tony Nye of down in Clinton County, and Gigi Neal is down further into Claremont County. They are both with the Ohio State University Extension Service and are part of a new and small farms program at Ohio State. Tony made mention of the fact that it's actually been in place since 2005. Let's get into a little bit more detail, Tony. You've got a college for these folks. You've got a management series. You've got a trade show. Kind of roll it all up into how somebody can get some help through what Ohio State's doing.
Well, the program that we call the college is an 8-week program, and the way it has evolved over time is it's really a farm management curriculum to really get at designing a business plan, setting goals and missions and things like that, getting everybody on the same page within the family or the enterprise of the farm. And then, you know, we're not going to, during the 8-week college, talk about how to raise poultry, but we're going to talk about the opportunities of poultry or the opportunities of growing horticultural crops. The small farm conferences that we've incorporated over time, that's where you get your nuts and bolts of certain enterprises. So you're going to learn what it takes to have all your ducks in a row or all your laws covered and all your certificates covered to sell poultry and eggs at a farmer's market. Or you're going to learn the latest in blueberry production. The conferences are where we're going to get in and hone in on those kinds of things. And then the ongoing discussions that carry forward on a day-to-day basis with this clientele, that they're continually learning to ask questions, grow in their knowledge, and not be afraid to ask those questions. So we serve as an educational forum, but also a sounding board for them to really discuss some things from our perspective, sometimes looking in from the outside of what they're thinking.
Gigi, maybe follow up a little bit on something Tony said about getting all the paperwork in order. What are some of the kind of legal issues, concerns, subjects that, you know, folks may or may not know about, but you've got to help them get their arms around them?
The conversation of CAUV usually comes up, the current agricultural use value. And then we also have that conversation of fence laws, whose property is whose, who helps support that fence and pay for it. Then we also have everything from the production of eggs to meat production on a retail market. They don't understand a lot of times that there are additional rules and regulations that they do have to follow. For example, I had a gentleman just last week stop in the office and ask me, do I have to license my beehive that I have? And I said, yes, you do, sir. And here's who you contact.
So I ask about the sometimes social isolation that comes along with being a farmer, Tony. What about the flip side? You know, I work in the office. I love it here. My wife works at home. She loves what she does. But to be honest, I'm not sure if we were working side by side all day long on the same enterprise, it'd be good for either of us. How do you get into that potentially touchy subject with people that, and if you're going to do this with the family, it's got some new dynamics.
That comes up the first night of the college. Whose idea is this? Who's really wanting to do this? And we talk about, you know, the roles that everybody plays within the family. And so if dad is the one that wants to do all this stuff that he's read on the internet or seen in a magazine or talk to someone else that's doing it, is wife, are kids involved? Do they want to be involved? Or is he the lone person out there? And so getting everybody on the page as to whose enterprise or whose farm is this, and then how does everybody play as a key role in that whole farming operation? And that becomes the big social discussion that we see a lot of times carry forward into the next week, and then we get lots more questions.
Do you get a lot of people that go, after they've thought about this, they say, maybe not?
Yeah, we see that once in a while, and then we see the opposite, where the person that wants to do it's still going to do it. And you sometimes have to say, well, good luck with that. And, you know, you have to remind them that, okay, who's going to take care of things if you're sick in the hospital, on a business trip, things like that.
We will be back to wrap up our conversation with Tony Nye and Gigi Neal, both members of the New and Small Farms program within Ohio State University Extension. We'll be back to hear more from Tony and Gigi when we continue on Town Hall Ohio. We have a lot of people in Ohio taking some chances, getting into agriculture as new farmers, as small farmers, and Ohio State's geared up to help them make that transition. Tony Nye of Clinton County, Gigi Neal from down to Claremont County are in the studio with us today here on Town Hall, Ohio. So getting started money-wise is probably a big challenge, and short of inheriting it all or having it gifted to you in one fashion or another, are there some tools out there or agencies or programs, Tony, that potential farmers can look at in terms of financial assistance?
Yeah, one of the nights that we have during the college is we bring in people from farm credit and the different governmental offices that facilitate farmers with the farm program and the farm bill. And we get them to really just address, you know, what it takes, and we've kind of already hit on this before, having that financial plan, that business plan. What is the actual paperwork they're looking for? Is it just a balance sheet? Are there other pieces of financial information they want? And then build upon that as to the successes. And so we have them be pretty blunt with the audience as to what it takes and the paperwork they should come into the office with when they want to go and talk about obtaining extra financing.
Do you get into advising on any? I know there's some grant programs through USDA and others. Gigi, do you get into pointing folks towards those?
We do have some individuals that ask for specifically grants. We do point them in that direction, and we also have some other programs in Southern Ohio that deal with, it's a grant program through the Southern Ohio Ag Community Development Foundation, aka Tobacco Grants, that they can apply for those programs also. And then we also have some cost share programs in regards to our Natural Resource Conservation Service program that they can get involved in also to help with their production aspects.
The one thing I want to add to that is there is no free money. And that's the number one question we get on the phone is, you know, I want to get into something. Are there any grants out there to get started? No.
Just curious if either of you have experienced anyone that their funding plan involves, you know, Kickstarter program or crowdsourcing and those kind of things. You hear a lot of entrepreneurs that throw their idea out on the internet and people kick in $5 and $10 here or there. Have you ever run across anybody trying to get started in agriculture with that as the funding source?
CSA is probably the best example of that, where a producer or a family wants to get involved in vegetable production and they sell shares into their production. And a lot of times that money is paid for ahead of time. But in return, they are going to prescribe to the purchase of that what the people that are buying into the program are going to get in return. And then there's a guarantee as to the produce they're going to get through the growing season.
I know there's some USDA help out there to get veterans who want to transition to agriculture. Gigi, do you run into much of that?
I do have a veteran in my local county that is working with the to put together his own program there. And it's more to he wants to get individuals to come out and help him in regards to PTSD, because that's what he has used to help relax himself, calm himself down in regards to that. But applying for those programs, they are still difficult and few and far between.
So I'm going to give you each 30 seconds here. What's the best, Gigi, we'll start with you, best advice for somebody who has no land, has no background, but thinks they want to do this?
Get involved in the educational aspect of it so you know everything right up front. And so that way there's a lot of information for you to digest. They do need to think about everything ahead of the game. So get your game plan in place first.
Tony, your 30-second advice.
I think the biggest thing is you know, identify the Gigi and I are two representatives in Extension, but there's an Extension office in every county. Start the conversation with your local Extension office. And a lot of times it's best to pick up the phone, because we can carry on a very good conversation versus every other day trying to keep an email conversation going. But picking up that phone, but stopping in that Extension office.
Thanks to both of you for helping share a little bit of perspective on what it's really like to get started in agriculture. And as Tony said, visit with your local Extension office for more help or information. Tony Nye from down to Clinton County, Gigi Neal, Claremont County. Thanks to both of you for joining us today on Town Hall Ohio.
Town Hall Ohio is a project of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and is brought to you with the support of Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Join us again next week for Town Hall Ohio.